We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty and, the DILF.
The big DILF.
And Psycho T slash T-Mill have the latest for you. And the latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And as well, earlier today, the 40-plus minutes, give or take, Nick Caserio, the general manager, with a wild offseason and the draft coming up next week, spoke to the media. He spoke about a few things. If you want to hear that in its entirety, go ahead and listen to it on the podcast page. He was on In the Loop. You can hear it there. But, fellas, he spoke about where this team is in the offseason. And they've made a bunch of moves and a bunch of moves that a lot of people around the league really, really like. And based off their season last year, feel that the Texans are ready to take a big, big step. This was the general manager, Nick Caserio, when his thoughts on what they've done in the offseason and what it means.
I'm sure we'll get some questions here about the offseason and some of the things that we've done. I mean, frankly, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's so early. I mean, we haven't done anything. So what happened last year has no bearing on this year. So we're focused on right now. We're focused on the present. We're focused on improvement. And I think the players' focus is just on their attitude, their effort, and their commitment to being a good player. So outside of that, I mean, the rest of it is just a bunch of garbage.
All right, I don't know that I would say that last year has no bearing on this year. But, Clint, I think this is clearly becoming a talking point. D'Amico Ryans, similar thing. We've been playing it right here. If you listen to the station like I know you do, you've heard the promos of, hey, we're still hunting from D'Amico in a similar fashion. Our mindset isn't that we'd have done something that we can kind of rest and lay back. I think this is the proper way from the brass, the top people in the organization, to kind of push down towards the team, and I'm sure the leaders are pushing that as well as they start offseason program, Clint, that yeah, we got to remember, we had a great season last year. We had a great offseason. That doesn't necessarily mean, folks, that we're going to get to where we want to get to, and we got to remain focused on what the task is this year. I like that thought, because outside of that locker room, outside of even Houston on a national level, the talk is as if they have done a lot.
Yeah, Ron, I mean, here's the deal. I'm personally concerned about it.
Are you?
Yeah, because having been in locker rooms, bro, which, I mean, hell, it ain't no different at any level. But
you think it's just hard to avoid?
It is hard to not feel yourself, smell yourself a little bit after doing what the Texans did last year. It is hard. But I think this is the one time, this is the first time for me, if I'm being completely honest, that I am willing to lean into Nick Caserio's upbringing as a huge plus with the Texans. I don't think there's anything that Nick's done to this point with the Houston Texans that you can look back and go, boy, those six rings and all his time with Bill Belichick in New England really helped him, it prepared him to deal with all the dysfunction that was Houston the first 2 years. And last year there was a great draft where they drafted a quarterback in New England. They never did that. So right now, as we see how D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are handling the team, I really believe the New England way, the Bill Belichick way, the Nick Caserio way of, hey, every year's a new year. Nobody's done a damn thing. We're 0-0. It last year does not matter. This team is totally different. Show up and do your job. Worry about being an accountable, whatever the hell he threw out there a while ago, the three different things he wants the guys to focus on. Nick is, I mean, he has been groomed to to roll out a game plan to get guys to understand it's year by year. You show up, do your job. You worry about being accountable and working hard and being the best teammate you can be and this and that. Like, don't – like, he – I mean, there's nobody that's been more schooled and had more experience in – with an organization that successfully did that year in, year out than Nick Caserio. And so I think this is actually one of a handful of times when you look at that whole New England upbringing where you go, boy, it could really pay off keeping these guys dialed in and not feeling themselves and understanding that every year is a new year and you got to do the little things right consistently. And you hadn't done anything, you still got to go to work.
And you said it. You said you've been in locker rooms and you said it can be hard to avoid to not feel yourself a little bit. Where is the space that this can lead? Where's the net, like the thing that they're potentially trying to avoid, as you said you've seen this could lead to in terms of, well, hey, they want to keep pushing this narrative down so nobody gets to the point of feeling themselves.
Well, I think it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get complacent and say, hey, I've arrived, especially when you have so many guys that had so much success so quickly in the league. Like, it's crazy to think right now that C.J. Stroud doesn't look at the NFL as, damn, it's significantly easier than I thought it was going to be, right? I mean, it's easy for Will – like, it would be easy for Will Anderson to say, damn, I went out there and I didn't put up monster sack numbers. Hell, I kind of started slow and I still got defensive rookie of the year. You can't, like, it'd be easy for those guys to grow complacent and not – I mean, there's just a difference.
I missed 6-7 games this year, Derek Stingley, and I came in and –
yeah, man. Who needs? Yeah, I can afford. I can afford to miss this workout, or I can afford to not have the right mindset for a couple of weeks. I can afford to not take care of my body, man. Look what I did in this amount. It's hard. It's human nature to do those things. It's hard. It's hard to not grow complacent when you've had so much success. But and you had such quicks. Like those guys have never experienced failure in the league at all, to damn near any degree, and so. You look at it, like, I just think this team with so many young dudes that had so much success immediately, it can really pay off that Nick Caserio had the upbringing. And I'm sure D'Amico feels the same way being a former player. But, boy, because it's one thing, I think every coach, every general manager that has a young team that had success, and probably all of them anyway, go in and go, hey, it's a new year. Team meeting, first new meeting, new year, we got to do it. We got a new team. We got to learn each other. We got to grow this chemistry. We got to, everything we did last year, we got to do, we got to build it all over again. And everybody does that in a team meeting, right? But understanding the significance of doing it every day from the time that they showed up, what was it, Monday? When they started working out, the strength signs on the walls, the coaches constantly, everyone, not just the head coach in a team meeting, but the strength coach, everybody repeating the same theme of we ain't done a damn thing. We still got a ton of work that we got to do in order to win. Like, I just think Nick has got that down.
Yeah, I think not only them starting that now right off the bat, you can tell is a talking point for them. I'd also think the schedule is going to help them to not become complacent.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are still a lot of teams on their schedule that they look at and say, all right, we got to bring it to face them, right? If they were facing last year's schedule this year, I could see some complacency roll through a little bit. We got the Browns.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Panthers. We got the Falcons. Like, no, they're going to have games, a lot of games this year, where they're going to face teams that are potentially even measuring sticks to them, you know, several of them. So I think that will help as well.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we've talked a lot about Stephon Diggs from the Texans side of things. Obviously, we should. But Josh Allen has spoken to the media today for the first time since the trade occurred. This is him talking about losing his top target in Stephon Diggs.
Definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody. You know, we've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year seven now, it's just kind of is what it is. You know, I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
All right, that's Josh Allen. And Clint, I know last year coming around this time, I know you continue to say the most interesting thing for you is to really watch how this Raven situation comes about when Lamar Jackson was still trying to get his contract.
Yeah.
I know you said, for me this year, one of the most interesting things to watch is to see who was right in this Stephon Diggs situation. Because clearly I hear what Josh is saying, but Josh, we know how this works. Stephon Diggs would still be a Buffalo Bill if you really wanted him to be one.
Absolutely.
Okay, they're paying more money to have him gone,
yes,
than to have him there. He was not the cap casualty. They had already done that. And it will be interesting to see who's right. Is Buffalo right in terms of, and we'll watch all year, of they would be better off moving off of him and that taking a draft pick in the second round the next year, not even knowing at all what it is,
right,
when the team had two of them? Is that going, are they going to win out with, hey, we were better, we got off in the right time, or are the Texans going to win out on this thing and get the production that they need and want from Stephon Diggs to say there is still much more in the tank? I don't know who's going to be right or wrong. That is going to be one of the real interesting things to watch.
Oh, and it's going to be a huge story now.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be watching every week.
You think about that division, Ron, up there. New England, what the hell are they going to do at quarterback, and what are they going to do without Bill Belichick? Buffalo, what are they going to do without Stephon Diggs? And what's the dude Lopez Love that went to Jacksonville, or went to, where'd he go? The receiver, Gabe Davis.
Oh, Gabe Davis.
But those two starting receivers lost their offensive coordinator mid-year last year. And then the other one, the Jets. With Aaron Rodgers and that whole thing going on. That division is, you talk about fascinating. Like, what do those teams end up doing? Can guys stay healthy? And when it's all said and done, we get a month or 6 weeks into the season, who rises to the top, who falls by the wayside, and to your point, clearly made the wrong decision moving players or acquiring players. We'll see. That whole division damn near is going to be fascinating to watch unfold.
We'll see. Maybe both teams win. Maybe both. The Texans are really, really helped by having Stephon Diggs, and maybe the Bills do something.
Yeah, I just don't.
I get the feeling that's not going to happen. Somebody is going to have made the wrong decision.
Yeah, when you look at Josh Allen's style of play, man, that receiver room is a problem. I mean, if he played the game more like Brady or hell, like CJ did last year, you could say, okay, they can play good football, play good defense, use his legs and you know, use old boy in the backfield a little bit, and they got some players. But man, he is a hold the ball and rip that joint down the field. And if you don't have dudes that are big bodies that can go up and get it, or can run and create separation and can go get it, then you got problems. I mean, you thought dude was bad before.
Their most experienced guy is Curtis Samuel.
Come on, man. That ain't it.
You wouldn't think so.
That ain't it.
That's going to be the case unless they do something wild and trade for Brandon Ayuk, who I don't think they will do, or T. Higgins. But that appears to be.
Things could get real interesting draft night for Buffalo.
Yeah, it's got to. I mean, they're going to draft a receiver, but.
No, I mean moving some picks to get
Yeah, it could be, yeah. They're giving
you can't risk with that receiving core. You can't be like, oh, we're going to draft a rookie and make him play from jump. I mean, I guess it's fine if you get Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, you a Tank Dell in the third round.
She Rice without the driving.
I mean,
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. The NBA play-in continues tomorrow, and then the playoffs will officially start. But I'm telling you, the injuries in this are wild. Zion, who probably played maybe the most impressive, not maybe, his best game in that important game, 40-11, before he hurt his hamstring. He's going to be out Friday against the Kings as they try to get in to the postseason. And Jimmy Butler hurt himself yesterday, and he's going to be out several weeks with his knee as they face the Bulls. They'll face him without it. But the Houston Rockets, this is going to be something to watch, because you know, hell, in basketball, stars or guys can move and get moved quickly. Yesterday, reports, Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, I would say two of their three best players along with Bam, had to be separated on Miami Heat's team bus after last night's game against the Sixers. Butler kept saying 9 for 27.
Jimmy freaking Butler!
That's what Tyler Hero shot yesterday. Just kept saying 9 for 27, and apparently Tyler Hero had enough of how many times he kept saying it and reportedly threw a punch that did not connect. And then,
probably better for him, it didn't.
And then Butler yelled 9 for 28.
Oh, that's so good. I interrupted that. Boy, that was good.
Hey, just watch. Watch out. One of them could become available. One of them, that any time, one of them could become available to potentially look at. And I think the Rockets are probably done with young guys and probably want to bring a veteran along. That's just one.
Hell, they can't keep all the young guys they have.
They have no chance to. No chance to. So that is one to watch. All right. The Astros have started out 6-14. Man, guys, it you know what it looks and smells like. Are we ready to admit that? We'll discuss what this 6-4 start means for the Astros. That's coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Again tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Make sure that's a programming note to you all, and I'm sure you'll hear it both on Area 45 tomorrow on Payne and Pendergast and In the Loop tomorrow. Our program director, Parker Hillis, has some words for you, the Sports Radio 610 listeners. Park will be right here ready for you coming up. I tried, man. I can't call it. It's a good nickname, man.
I think he's walking to his car, so he didn't hear. Yeah. Park.
I want him to.
You hit that Odyssey. If you listen to that Odyssey app, we appreciate y'all. There's a rewind feature. The boss uses it all the time, and I'm sure he'll love it. I'm sure he'll use it.
But no, he wants to speak to the listeners, so make sure you're listening for that. All right, Clint. What's your thoughts? Because the comparison, like, it's killing me, man. And I'm about over it, Tyler, Clint. Because the Astros are in this spot where they're 8 games under .500 already. Right, never would have had that on the bingo card. 20 games in, the Astros are going to be 8 games under .500 and been swept twice at home and swept three times in the season. But now a lot of people are trying to make comparisons, Clint. People are trying to make comparisons to different Astro teams, to the team in 2005 when they were in the National League, to other teams who have started out slow. I got the Nationals started out slow for a long time the year they won the championship over the Astros. They could do that, you know. To now, Clint, you're even hearing football references, football comps that people are trying to pull out and drag out to find any kind of, I think, attempt to make themselves feel better about where this started.
Yeah, we heard this yesterday on the show, and Sean Bajani found it and pulled it out. Michael Schwab had a little comp for the Astros' slow start. 6-14 in Major League Baseball is like 0-2 in the NFL season. And here's the deal: is I actually like the comp. The more I think about it. Started out, I was like, get the hell out of here. I disagree with it. I actually like the comp, Mike. I've come full circle here. I actually like the comp. I mean, here's why I like it. Because if the Texans started 0-2 next year, the vibe around the team would not be relaxed. It's a long season. Here's the deal. 0-2, two games in the NFL is roughly 12% of the games, and 20 starts, 6-14 for the Astros is roughly 12% of Major League Baseball season, right? So when I look at it, if you're a team that has Super Bowl expectations, which I'll argue the bar is significantly lower for the Texans than it is for the Astros, doing what the Astros have done, they've owned Major League Baseball for the last 7 years. They've damn sure owned the American League for the last 7 years.
Nobody was shocked about 0-2.
Right, right. And if the Texans, hell, as they are right now, ain't been to an AFC championship, ain't been to a damn Super Bowl, if they started 0-2 next year, it would be a problem. It would be a major problem. And it could be, I mean, they started 0-2, and they just had a couple rough fourth quarters against some really good quarterbacks, some really good football teams, some great defenses, but you're 0-2. Like, it would be, hell, I'll even say in the media it would be a problem. People would be shocked. This is not what you expected. But inside the walls of NRG Stadium with that football team, D'Amico Ryans would be getting things right. D'Amico Ryans would be operating with a sense of urgency. D'Amico Ryans would not be taking off days lightly. He damn sure wouldn't be talking about, well, it's a long season, fellas. We're going to be okay. There would be a different approach to business if you start the season 0-2. So right. For that reason, I like, if you start 6-14 in a major, if 12% of your games are down the drain and you've looked awful. There's three teams in baseball, I think, at this point worse than the Astros record-wise. And let's be honest, I'd argue that those teams that are worse record-wise probably have not looked as bad as the Astros have. They've probably just, like, not very talented baseball teams.
Because that's what the Astros do everything that bad baseball teams do.
Correct. That not very talented teams do. That not complete teams, or let's say incomplete teams, do at this point in time.
What's the stat you gave? They're outscored
29-4. If you want 29-4 in the eighth and ninth inning this year,
that's
outscored 29-4, and that's counting the Tucker home run when they were down 6 runs the other night, along with the double Pena double that drove in Dubon when you were down 6-1. So pointless, useless runs. We'll add those in there too. 29-4. If you want to add the 10th inning, you want to add the two bonus baseball games that we've had this year, it's actually 31-4.
I've had the hell of being able to watch just awful baseball teams year in and year out for the most part my whole life, the teams I've rooted for.
Right.
And Clint, one of the hallmarks is they're going to find a way to blow it in the end.
Yep.
Whether they have bad pitching coming out of the bullpen late in games, they have bad decisions by the manager late in games, they have an inability to find ways to come up with the hits they need to, they don't execute late, they can't get bunts down. That has been a hallmark of a bad baseball team, one that struggles late in innings, like you're talking about. I think you all would be lying to yourselves if the Texans started 0-2 and they got destroyed, let's say, by the Jets and the Chiefs to start. Two teams that are contenders, if not ahead of you, or not, like two teams that are teams that you may be able to run into down the line, two teams you want to be able to compete against, and C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson and Stephon Diggs are the big reasons why you were losing. You'd be concerned as hell.
Yep. Everybody would be.
Because if they thought they were 0-2 and he threw 4 picks in 2 games and made mistakes, or Diggs dropped balls, or Will was not heard from in 2 games, yes, you'd be saying it's a long season, but you wouldn't be just, don't worry about it. I don't believe so. I believe you'd be extremely concerned. Like, I think it's very fair for people to be right now. Extremely concerned. All right, so I don't agree. I think that's the toughest part, Clint, is who it's coming from. That's the toughest part. You could almost feel better if it was just Abreu that stunk.
Agreed. Hell, it would be something we'd all be willing to be patient with.
Yes. If it was Montero, now it's just like, all right, Stop using that person.
Yep.
The guys that are having issues, you can't ask Joe Espada to not use them. You can't say stop using Ryan Pressly, Josh Hader, Brian Abreu. You can't. And people talking about, Montero. No, Montero's not going to be the closer. I saw somebody text that in. No, you can't do that. You can't. So I mean that's the part about it. It's who's doing it. Tyler is not a fan of that comp. By the way, he expressed that in.
I think it's stupid as hell.
About the baseball comp to football.
Yes.
Well, it's 12% of the season anyway you look at it.
Yes, and that is where the facts about that comp end. I mean, we're talking about you're making a comp with two very different sports, two sports that are completely different as far as what they demand physically. Two different sports in terms of the types of injuries, how often injuries happen, the relative importance of certain positions like a quarterback in football as opposed to a starting pitcher every 5 days in baseball. I think it's a stupid-ass comp. But that's just me.
It's all right, man. The Astros have done this to Tyler. They've done this to him.
They have.
You know he's in a bad mood. And I don't blame him.
He didn't get enough sleep last night. That's all.
Would you? He probably replayed that Pena slam in the head. He probably replayed that inning that Ryan Pressly walked into the eighth that you're expecting will just hold it down.
I need you to get you a good night's rest tonight, Tyler.
I got a lot of sleep.
When he got that base hit was rifled between first and second yesterday by the center fielder.
Which one?
Oh. The center fielder to kick it off. I said, here we go.
Mm-hmm. My mentals are in a bad place, man.
I can't remember who that was. So whoever rifled that double over DuPont's head to then set that inning up that bounced into the – I said, oh, my God.
I think I've subconsciously blocked it out.
Was it Acuna? So whoever it was, I mean, just drilled it where DuPont was running, and thank God that Hill wasn't out there because he would have lost himself. Whew. They've done this to Tyler, okay? Don't blame anybody. It's the Astros. Sorry, Tyler. Shouldn't have done this to you. All right. Nick Caserio spoke about his newest Houston Texan, Stephon Diggs. We'll let you hear that. And the video has surfaced. There's at least one of the new helmets are out. We'll have to discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just coming up here in just a second, Nick Caserio spoke about Diggs, and it kind of jump-started to me. What's a realistic expectation? I'll give you the last several years from Diggs in just a second, but I think this was a fair one. You know, many times people like to make the comps to Kansas City because you all are obsessed with it. Someone said, I like the comp, but if they're going to be compared, if you're going to compare the Astros to the NFL team, you'd have to use the Chiefs, not the Texans. Would you be concerned that the Chiefs started 0-2? Ron, thank you. Jeff. Yes, especially depending on how it happened. Let me tell you something, and I've continued to say, it don't really care about the start, it's the games that you're watching and the stretch they're having it.
Well, but the other thing, real quick, because I know this is a great comp and a great question, but like, let's be clear. I mean, it's not, at least I'll speak for myself. It's not like, Ron, would you think the season was doomed if they went started 0-2? No, but you'd be critical and be concerned about what the hell's going on.
Yes,
but especially if they lost in a way that's embarrassing.
And I still think, and I'll bring the thought to you, even though I think an Andy Reid and a Patrick Mahomes has far more effect on the outcome of games and how a team can turn it around than anybody that the Astros could have.
Didn't have a, right?
A quarterback and a head coach.
Sure.
Has more. But even with that, I'm going to tell you this right now. When the Chiefs had that stretch of losing games the same damn way every week, stupid decisions, shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly, and drops, and it culminated with Patrick Mahomes throwing two of the worst interceptions that I've ever seen him throw against the Raiders. and the Raiders had a quarterback that didn't complete a pass in the after the first quarter, the final three quarters of the game, he didn't complete a pass, and they lost on Christmas Day, there is no chance in hell that I was going to sit here and tell you that they were going to make the run they made. And there was nobody saying that, right? I didn't say it was over. I still gave him a chance, but I looked at him like, oh, guys, they're doing the same things every week.
Yeah.
They're having like the same, like the quarterback isn't sharp. The receivers are dropping the ball. They're making mistakes. They can't get the ball in the hands of Kelce. Like, they're making mistakes. I did not sit there and just say, oh, man, they'll be good.
It's the Chiefs, man. They'll be
all right.
They'll
be good. They've got a history similar to the point you made there, Jeff. They've got a history similar to the Astros. We're of confidence. But no, I watched it. There was a sample size. That was like 3 or 4 weeks where it's like, damn. They shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. They could win a game because they had a receiver lineup offside. Like they were, but it was not the first time. So yeah, I would be concerned. Like hell. All right, Nick Caserio, he spoke today and had a few things that he covered, but right out of the gate, early on in the presser, he talked about Stephon Diggs, and we knew that was coming. We heard from CJ about it. We heard from D'Amico about it. We haven't heard from Stephon Diggs yet, but we heard from those guys. Here was Nick talking about the new guy they brought in Steph Diggs and what that could mean for the offense.
As it pertains to him, I mean, look, he's an experienced player. He's been productive. He's instinctive. He has good hands. So, our system is maybe a little bit different than the system that he was in Buffalo, but he was as productive as any player in the league. So there might be some things that we're doing maybe that are similar to maybe what he was doing in Minnesota. But, good football player. We think he can help us, which is why he's here.
All right. He left Buffalo, Clinton. I'm curious from you and the folks. Tyler, you can jump in on this as well. Production-wise, we've said it from the jump. We feel like, obviously, the production's going to be different for him because the targets are going to be different. One, this isn't an offense in which it is geared to trying to get it to one person. This isn't an offense, or this isn't a quarterback that we have seen in this first year and even at Ohio State. And he had a Marvin Harrison. It's not an offense or a quarterback that just says, I'm going to be hell-bent on feeding one person. So we do think it is going to be different. But I'm curious where people believe fair and realistic expectations for Stephon Diggs coming to this offense with the players like Tank Dell, Nico Collins around them with this offense under Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. The last 3 years for reference point, 2021. 103 catches on 164 targets, over 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. 2022, 108 catches on 154 targets and a big year, 1,429 yards with 11 touchdowns. And then last year, 107 catches on 160 targets, 1,183 yards with 8 touchdowns. Understanding the weapons that the Texans have here, what Bobby Slowick, what C.J. Stroud, for you, where do you see his numbers going? You think he puts up similar numbers to what he has done in Buffalo?
No. No, 160 targets, I don't think he gets anywhere close to that. I mean, to put that
Nico led the team.
Nico led the team last year in 15 games. He didn't play two of them, obviously, but he led the team, and there were a handful of games late where he was the only option on the field with everybody else injured. I mean, he led the team last year with 109, and it felt like they were force-feeding him at times. So, look, I would be shocked if a guy has, more than 110 targets next year. I would be shocked. I don't know. I guess you stay healthy for 17 games. Maybe you reach that. But, I would be shocked. The way I look at this thing is I look for him to have, Stephon Diggs, that is. My bar is I need 75 catches and 1,000 yards. 75 catches and 1,000 yards. And look, I'm with you. I do think he leads the team in catches. I think he leads the team in yards as well. I think he's going to be the move guy here. I think he's going to be the focal point, the number one in the progression a lot of the times, where your other two guys, I think Tank Dell and Nico Collins, are going to be outside receivers, which I think is where they should be. I just think it's natural that you ask the veteran that's making $22 million, that's led the league in catches the last 4 years. I just think it's common sense that you use him as your move guy. You ask him to ultimately do more than you ask Tank Dell to do. You ask him to take on more responsibility in terms of changing formations and pre-snap movements and motions and things of that nature. You put him in position to see the pressures more often. So I think it only makes sense if you're going to bring in a veteran receiver that's as decorated as Diggs is and the play style that Diggs has, is that you make him really your focal point. I think Nico Collins comes back down to earth for a couple of reasons. I think last year those numbers were absolutely ridiculous. I don't think it happens again regardless of the situation. But I think he comes back down to earth because Diggs is there. They're spreading the ball around. I think Tank Dell stays healthy, so they're spreading the ball around more. But I do think there's a chance they could end up with 3 1,000-yard receivers.
3 1,000-yard receivers?
Yep. Based on this offense, what we saw last year, Ron, I think it's very possible.
Someone texted in, Quincy, 60 catches, 77 touchdowns, 900 yards.
I would take it. I would take it, but the goal for me is.
Well, I think they hope they get more than that, unless.
Well, if he gets
Nico
60
and
catches,
Tank just went crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets 60 catches, then Tank is Tank and Nico are going. I mean, crazy. I mean, think about it, man. Dale had 75 targets last year in 11 games, and if you remember correctly, he didn't start Week 1. I don't remember at what point did he start becoming more of a focal point. I think week three.
He was in there that Colts game.
Yeah, but I think the third game is when they really, you could
Jacksonville,
tell.
Jacksonville, yeah, he started. But like that second half when CJ was just throwing it the entire time, he was.
That's when he showed him, like, okay, he needs. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, you think that guy stays healthy six more games, he's going to lead the team in targets at that point in time, probably lead the team in yards because he was catching up and he was running with it. And when he went down, Noah Brown went down, Robert Woods was down some, Nico Collins was really just getting force-fed the ball. So
I think Diggs leads this team in receptions. I think Nico has the yards because I think a lot of stuff is going to be – I cannot wait to see how many, like, chunk plays that Nico gets. I think we're going to – I don't know what the league lead will be for 20-plus yard catches and receptions, which I think is chunk plays with what he can do with down the field and run after the catch ability. And I think a lot of it coverage will be, especially early, geared towards Stephon Diggs. I think we could potentially see him really have big plays. Maybe not as many catches, but big plays. Remember Will Fuller years ago would have low number of catches, but big plays. Someone said, don't forget about Dalton Schultz and his potential 50 balls he's going
to
get.
To me, if you look at this right now, Noah Brown and Robert Woods had 130 targets and 73 catches last year. To me, when you bring in Diggs, all of Robert Woods is going to go to Diggs, but a big part, I think, even Noah Brown's is going to go to Diggs. When you look at it, Diggs, Collins, and Tank Dell are going to be your go-to guys. I think again, there's a chance Noah Brown, I don't know, Noah Brown being that reserve, kind of do everything, can play any other positions. Again, veteran that knows the playbook, knows defensive schemes, really more of a safety net kind of guy. I think he moves into that role a little bit more, which I say moves. Hell, he was that last year because he was plug and play wherever you wanted him. But I think a big chunk of the 130 targets that Robert Woods and Noah Brown got last year, I think a big chunk of that is where you see Diggs come into play here. And like I said, I think if these guys stay healthy, I think you could very easily have 3 1,000-yard receivers.
Texans All Access coming up behind us. Nick Caserio will be live. He will be live with Mark and John, so stay tuned for that. Area 45, 7 to 11. Don't miss it. No Astros postgame tonight. The Astros are off a well-needed day off, but you can hear Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton coming on right after Nick Caserio, who is on Texans All Access. Real quick, yay or nay, the new helmet that is leaked and the Texans have acknowledged it, yay or nay on the new helmet?
I love it. Yay.
Undecided. Yeah. Need to see it with the uni.
I'm not going to follow directions either. I go with an F as We're fine.
Oh, wow.
We're fine.
You didn't follow your own direction.
That's what I said. I said it. I'm not going to follow direction.
Only one that did was Ron. I mean, Tyler.
Tyler. Well, he even really didn't. He said, well,
he
I
ain't
love
got
him.
No, he ain't got no choice. He's making a commitment with that H. He ain't got no choice but to put on.
I can still change my mind. I don't want to
know. No, you cannot.
Yes,
you've already called in a favor,
but
Ron.
I don't want to. I like it.
Tyler, great job. Clint, great job. Tony Gwynn, we appreciate you, Tony Gwynn Jr., for jumping on as well. I am Ron Hughley. We love you, Houston. Someone else instead of me.
You mentioned gumbo.
Piece of cornbread.
I'm a dark root guy.
Gotta be, man. Gotta be. Just checking, man. I mean, I'm pretty fond of you, man. But our relationship cannot take the next step. If you like that, you like your etouffees and gumbos in that light roux. I can't do that now.
Now I need the dark root, dog.
You're listening to dark root, all of us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.